ABC Radio Australia.
Three American Samoans have petitioned the United States Supreme Court to grant them US citizenship on birthright. Right now, people born in US Pacific Territory of American Samoa are considered nationals, but not citizens of the United States. The petitioners are arguing that denying them citizenship is unconstitutional and based on an outdated racist ruling. To hear more about the case, I'm joined now by one of the lawyers behind the petition, Charles Alaelima. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, Jordan.
Lovely to have you joining the program this morning. Start off, tell me, why do you believe that American Samoans should be granted U.S. citizenship?
Our position is that it is the requirement of the United States Constitution under the 14th Amendment that anybody born on U.S. soil is a full United States citizen. The 14th Amendment was enacted after the Civil War to ensure that the idea of citizenship is not something governed by politicians, but rather governed by the Constitution based upon the birth on U.S. soil. American Samoa has been U.S. soil since 1900, when sovereignty was deeded not by conquest, but by voluntary actions of the native chiefs at that time on behalf of their people. And since that time, the American Samoans, persons born in American Samoa, are born owing a duty of loyalty to the United States. The reciprocal arrangement then should be done that they, since they are born owing their allegiance to the United States, they should be full U.S. citizens.
And so right now, why are people in other Pacific territories like Guam or Northern Marianas, why are they granted citizenship but not American Samoa if it is U.S. territory that they're, you know, born on U.S. land?
Well, based upon a decision made by the Supreme Court back in the early 1900s and its progeny, basically these have been interpreted as being, as requiring that the United States Congress grant citizenship to the people of the territory, despite the fact that those territories are under U.S. sovereignty. This was upheld by the Supreme Court in those decisions called the insular cases. And basically what has happened since that time, the United States Congress says, okay, we will agree that you will be citizens, and you of this territory will be citizens. They never got around to coming to American Samoa to say that they were citizens, and so they created this special nationality, a nationality status, which basically says if you're not a U.S. citizen by congressional grant, you are a U.S. national.
Wow, that's so fascinating to see and interesting to see how this is going to play out. With this specific case, what specific impacts does being non-citizens have on the petitioners who are represented in this case that you're a part of?
Well, the petitioners, first off, are not entitled to be to vote for in the states. If they move to the states, they're not entitled to vote either in the state or U.S. elections. They are not entitled to vote for president down here in the territories. They are not allowed to vote up in the United States. In addition, they are restricted from a number of federal and state positions because of their lack of U.S. citizenship. And in this particular case, a number of them, in essence, you do not become a U.S. If you're not a U.S. citizen, you cannot be an officer in the United States military, although, interestingly, you're entitled to be an enlisted man.
Very interesting indeed.
Also, with respect to various positions in the government, you cannot hold it. We've had one lady who wanted to run for office in the state of Hawaii who was eliminated because she was born in American Samoa and had not naturalized or become a U.S. citizen. So it affects both people in the states and over here in American Samoa in the sense that they cannot naturalize down here. They have to actually move to the United States and to reside, and then basically they get to ask for naturalization as if they were a foreign national coming into the United States. Now, over the years, they've been given special consideration to speed up the naturalization process, but they still have to go through these various hoops to become naturalized U.S. citizens, which we believe is just a complete disregard for the 14th Amendment.
Yeah, it's a very convoluted process then, if you're, you know, born in American Samoa and then try to, it seems, do most things if you move to the U.S. What's going to happen if the Supreme Court actually accepts this case?
If the Supreme Court accepts that they will review this case, which we hope they will, and all indications are from recent decisions of the Supreme Court that this is the good case to bring up the issue of the review of those old insular cases, what would happen is they would then schedule a hearing, briefing dates, and then they will schedule a hearing date in which oral arguments would be made in front of the Supreme Court as to whether or not they should overrule their insular cases or how they should deal with this issue of citizenship by birth in U.S. territories.
And how do you think it will go? Are you confident the petitioners could have a positive outcome if taken up by the Supreme Court?
Well, we have indications both from the two sides of the court that exist now that they are willing to take up this insular cases and review them, both from Justice Sotomayor, who is in their recent case, and also by Justice Gorsuch. Justice Sotomayor is more on the liberal, is on the liberal side, and Justice Gorsuch is on the conservative side of the court. So we hope that when this comes up, it will not be a political review. It'll be basically both sides will review this thing carefully, because I think they all understand that the basis for the insular cases was the racist attitudes that existed in 1900. And this is just basically a vestige of that that just never got overruled. The Supreme Court had overruled a previous case involving separate but equal for black people in America, the apartheid thing in 1950s in Brown versus Board of Education. Interestingly, the same judge that wrote the insular cases also wrote the case that allowed for apartheid in the United States in 1898. So it was the same justice that wrote the insular case, that started off the insular cases and his attitudes, that also dealt with the attitudes of Americans towards black people, or of the law towards black people, that was overruled by the Supreme Court in Brown versus Board of Education in the 1950s. It's now taken another 70 years for them to apply this same process to overrule this Justice Brown's decision, and we're asking the court to apply that principle to the territory.
Yeah, wow. The history of this is, really, really fascinating. What's next for you? When will you find out the outcome of this petition?
We hopefully, within the next few months, we'll get the determination on whether the Supreme Court will take it up. This is basically the Supreme Court's call. And it would be probably taken up in the next term of the Supreme Court, which is